For most true blues, August does not mean whooping days in Croke Park, two side by side in the Hogan if you can at all. But infinitely more local, unspeakably more important matters such as how the club are going in the county championship, and how the outside manager is not exactly having the dramatic impact promised on the 10. He arrived in a blaze of optimism. Fierce organised, they'd say of him the first night, when he managed the Herculean task of arranging half a dozen cones on the field 10 minutes before the first of the players arrived. No one was fully convinced by his CV, but he made it clear from the start he'd only reward those who trained, and if they were straight with him, he'd be straight with them. The club chairman wanted to soften their cough, and sure enough, that's what the new man did. Soon you couldn't move downtown of a Saturday night without someone telling you about the bristling local manhood arranged in unison against the perimeter fence the night before, there to disgorge themselves of years of excess. They ran and ran and ran. Forrest Gump meets Katrina McKiernan. The first match, yes, only the lads who trained were picked. And yes, they beat the other crowd out the gate. He bigged it up on the pitch himself afterwards, but few were fooled. "I hear they're running a lot in training," roared the club's resident issuer of scathing put-downs. "But see young Leyden there. If he started running now, and kept running till Christmas, he wouldn't be half far enough away." They won the next three league games. Afterwards he could be seen wearing the club polo shirt at Windcheater down the town, where he'd suck a bottle of Heineken and talk deep tactical stuff with the club's only county player. He'd go home thinking this might just be the posting that'll bring him the reward he has long deserved. Pretty soon, of course, other teams get his fit. When they go four league games without a win, he explains away everyone with the "hard training is killing us, but it'll stand to us yet," while quietly expunging the "no train, no play" clause to get some real players back into the team. Soon, he's caught in no man's land. The Kenyan athletes of the early season are disaffected. The good players are complacent. They have his measure. He tries everything he knows to revive the ailing scene. Three times he storms out of training. He threatens resignation and is secretly delighted when a delegation of players arrives back to the house, appealing to him to stay his hand. But the following Sunday, two members of that five-man delegation don't turn up for a league game and don't send word either. He introduces a Thomond College graduate of the 1970s to conduct a session, just to change things around. But it brings about little improvement and an invoice that nearly sinks the club. But nothing works. And that's why they are where they are right now, hoping against hope that this very evening they can conjure up an unlikely away win, down at the far end of the county, in a place legendary only for it not being the most hospitable of spots. And if things go the way everyone expects them to go, he'll see out the last few league games, letting it be known that the wife has started shift work and the young lad is starting school. And come October, he'll be gone for dust, ruefully reflecting when he's asked that, they haven't the stuff up there. They think they're better than they are. And sure, it wasn't even worth the few pound I was getting.